if we were the first to mass produce an AC operating receiver, when we went from battery current for the filament, the vacuum tube, in 1925 or 26, it was done first with a separate power pack that was independent from the radio cabinet, radio chassis. Well, we combined it, and I think we were the first, and it made a good hit. And we got up to making 5,000 sets a day at another plant and had a lease on Thomas Street in Lewis. And we were going fine, but my engineers led us astray by suggesting we die cast the condenser, which was a disaster because they, in shipping, they were not, they had no tempering. And if the rotors moved, they stayed where they fell. It was terrible. We lost a lot of money. Yeah, we dug ourselves out of that, and then the engineers put me astray another year by coming out with a molded wooden cabinet, and we, this time it was the condenser trouble, but the supplier of the molded cabinet fell flat and couldn't make its deliveries, and that put us in a bad way. Now, in the meantime, it was publicized rather in 1924, shortly after I became president of the federal, that the Forest had won in a appellate court in Philadelphia a decision over Armstrong, which made the Forest gave him the controlling patent on what was then called the oscillating audion, but which was, of course, the use of a vacuum tube for generating radio frequencies. The Forest had been hired by Federal back in about 1911 or 12, long before I was with Federal, probably by Cyril Elwell, who was the chap who brought over the tools and art patents from the inventor Poulsen, who was a Dane. That time, the arcing generator of undamped waves, we had no way of receiving that signal, no good way. What we used was a detector called a ticker, which was a brass ring with a groove in it, mounted at the end of a 1800 RPM induction motor, and it's in the groove on that brass pulley, or looks like a small pulley, you rested a steel piano wire, and again, as in the carbon and needle technique, you put a voltage on it, and when the signal came in, it lowered the resistance enough to trigger a DC current into the headphones. And, but it still was not a strong signal, and to amplify it, because of the Forest work of the audience, Elwell hired the Forest to come to work for us to invent a proper amplifier. Well, that he did. But as soon as he did, and I'm not speaking critically, these were wild days, the Forest took off for the East and sold it, or sold an exclusive license, he said, to ATT. And it was that invention which brought the first transcontinental conversation by telephone in 1915. You know, we took a public and demonstration in 15 at the San Francisco Fair.